At that, Odysseus sat down again. Telemachus threw his arms around his great father, sobbing uncontrollably as the deep desire for tears welled up in both. They cried out, shrilling cries, pulsing sharper than birds of prey, eagles, vultures with hooked claws, when farmers plunder their nest of young too young to fly. Both men so filled with compassion, eyes streaming tears, that now the sunlight would have set upon their cries. If Telemachus had not asked his father all at once, "What sort of ship, dear father, brought you here? Ithaca, at last. Who did the sailors say they are? I hardly think you came back home on foot." "So long an exile," great Odysseus replied. "Surely, my son, I'll tell you the whole story now. Phaeacians brought me here, the famous sailors who ferry home all men who reach their shores. They sailed me across the sea in their swift ship. They set me down in Ithaca, sound asleep, and gave me glittering gifts, bronze and hoards of gold and robes. All I stowed in a cave, thanks to the gods' help, and Athena's inspiration spurred me here, now, so we could plan the slaughter of our foes. Come, give me the full tally of these suitors. I must see their numbers, gauge their strength. Then I'll deploy this old tactician's wits, decide if the two of us can take them on alone without allies, or we should hunt reserves to back us up." "Father," clear-headed Telemachus countered quickly, "all my life I've heard of your great fame, a brave man in war and a deep mind in counsel. But what you say dumbfounds me, staggers imagination. How on earth could two men fight so many and so strong? These suitors are not just 10 or 20, they're far more. You count them up for yourself now. Take a moment. From Dulichium, 52 of them, picked young men, 6 servants in their troop. From Sami, 24. From Zacynthus, 20 Achaeans, nobles all, and the 12 best lords from Ithaca itself. Medon the heralds with them, a gifted bard, and 2 henchmen skilled to carve their meat. If we pit ourselves against all these in the house, I fear the revenge you come back home to take will recoil on our heads, a bitter, deadly blow. Think, can you come up with a friend in arms, some man to fight beside us, some brave heart?" "Let me tell you," the old soldier said. "Bear it in mind now, listen to me closely. Think. Will Athena, flanked by Father Zeus, do for the two of us? Or shall I rack my brains for another champion?" Telemachus answered shrewdly, full of poise. "Two great champions, those you name, it's true. Off in the clouds they sit, and they lord it over gods and mortal men." "Trust me," his seasoned father reassured him. "They won't hold off long from the cries and clash of battle, not when we and the suitors put our fighting strength to proof in my own halls. But now, with daybreak, home you go and mix with that overbearing crowd. The swineherd will lead me into the city later, looking old and broken, a beggar once again. If they abuse me in the palace, steel yourself, no matter what outrage I must suffer, even if they drag me through our house by the heels and throw me out or pelt me with things they hurl, you just look on. Endure it. Prompt them to quit their wild, reckless ways. Try to win them over with friendly words. Those men will never listen. Now the day of doom is hovering at their heads. One more thing. Take it to heart, I urge you. When Athena, queen of tactics, tells me it is time, I'll give you a nod, and when you catch that signal, round up all the deadly weapons kept in the hall, stow them away upstairs, in a storeroom's deep recess, all the arms and armor, and when the suitors miss them and ask you questions, put them off with a winning story. I stowed them away, clear of the smoke. A far cry from the arms Odysseus left when he went to Troy, fire-damaged equipment black with reeking fumes, and a god reminded me of something darker too. When you're in your cups, a quarrel might break out. You'd wound each other, shame your feasting here, and cast a pall on your courting. Iron has